take, it's a very short poem. If you want another sea poem, say the sea, afterwards. Or the sea, you know, with gusto. Okay. I feel inside a rolling sea that I am trying to master. And the only time I'm feeling free is when the wind is blowing faster. Okay, this is an old one. The only thing I tolerate is sea, and that is something which tolerates me. So I seek sea cliffs and lagoons, spaces deep and high, where the only things that enjoy them are wild creatures and I. Oh. Thus I am so far from sea, long does this subject dwell on me. Linger I on the smell of rotten weed, it brings me closer in my heart's own deed, to be nearer the rocks that spring, with succulents, warts, and barnacle thing. Oh, throw me in it all, let me see not man's but nature's squall. Lock me in that lighthouse tower to watch an ocean's tempest, hour by hour.
Thank you, Alexis / Lucy. Next up we have James O'Leary. Thank you, James.
Big rains. You have been eroding. I don't know if the same storm outside my window is pressing against yours. To escape the thrumming, I fill a bath and submerge. My skull resounds with a quick, dull tempo. Last week, you still had hair, eyelashes, and a dog-eared self-help book by the call button. Last week, you still took visitors. You gave me answers, mostly medical. Your private room was full of things you didn't use. Wall-mounted TV, polished black shoes, Jesus on the cross with an acrylic gut wound. I released the bathwater. Gold pushes through cracks and single glazing. I emerge slowly like sarsen stone. Thank you.
Thank you very much, James. Okay, next we have Shane Vaughan.
This is my attempt at a humorous poem. It's called How to Be a Poet. Write like hell, read like a bitch in heat, imitate, win praise from your mother, reject mother, develop the art of coffee, procrastinate, suffer your first existential crisis. Plan a novel. Bin the novel. Novel becomes a poem. Bin the poem. Start over. Get published in a local mag run by some girls your brother knows, or maybe banged one time. Know nothing. Suffer your second existential crisis. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Take praise from mother. Get serious. Get a part-time job you'd love to love. Get fired from job for daydreaming with the customers. Blitz submissions, win kudos, get published in magazines people have heard of, get paid for writing and blow it all in one cup of tea. Suffer your third existential crisis in the form of that partner, the one you loved, the one you never should have loved, the one that got away, the one that could have been. Fall for someone who's right in all the wrong ways, settle, unsettle, relapse, find something meaningful, rely on mother, become. Now you are a poet. Figure out what to do with it.
Thank you, Shane. Well done. Next we have Ray Hanrahan.
Okay. Okay, this is a poem I wrote years ago and I managed to get it published. It's called Orin. It is winter and the full moon sprays its light on the bare bones of the sapless sleeping planet. On this night, the naked rock shines like silver from far away, as if a dream of ancient riches were cherished by that scanty soil to strike out of this hungry soul and to foster in me the crazy thought that were I there, I'd be blinded.
Thank you, Rick. Next we have Ben Burns.
Angelo Hughes stepped into the dark, glad with whiskey and a joint in his pocket. Down on the strand, he sat on a rock, alone with the sea and lit up. As Angelo smoked, his eye was caught by a stone with an indent shaped into a mouth. He picked it up, held its cold weight, and returned to the party where he christened it Stony. Angelo keeps Stony beside the fireplace with a stone that his daughter painted for him with love.
Thank you, Ben. Next we have Stan Knott. Yeah.
Try not to bang myself in the mouth like I did last Friday. Okay, I wrote this one Christmas 12 months, and it was actually just put away. I think I read it here once and then discarded it. I was working on something else, and then reminded me that I took it out, and I read it last Thursday night, so I'm going to do it again. The title is Christmas Message, which sounds really wonderful and happy. Which, you know, the title isn't everything. The river called me today. Jump, it said. Just float away. In the swell of my love, I will hold you like a glove, pull you down into the deep where forever you can sleep and forget all of the pain that has driven you insane. I will take you as you are, on your feet or in your car, sing a shanty as you sink, and together we will sink as one into the ocean where love is not an ocean, and bliss you cannot miss will shine from every fish that will feast upon your soul while the tide around you rolls to commemorate the way you existed day to day, in a world you did not fit, for you were never well equipped to deal with all the hate the world endlessly creates. But love is not the sea, said I, though I could see the beauty of the ocean could soothe my pained emotions and free me from the weight so many people's hate has forced into my mind, making life a daily grind. No, love is not the sea, and the sea is not for me. So thank you for the offer you so tenderly proffer, but I will go now on my way to face at least one more day. For love, it is forgiving, and for that, you must be living.
Thank you very much, Stan. Next we have Rob Burkhardt.
It's Burns Night, 25th January, so here's a bit of Robbie Burns. Some of you may have heard this song before. It's called My Father Was a Farmer. My father was a farmer from up on the Carrick border, and carefully he raised me in dignity and order. He bade me act a manly part, though I never had a farthing, because without an honest manly heart, no man was worth regarding. So out into the world, my course I did determine, though to be rich was not my pitch. To be great was charming. My talents, they were not the worst, nor yet my education. Resolved was I, at least to try to mend my situation. Through many a way and vain essay, I courted fortune's favour. Some cause unseen still stepped between to frustrate each endeavour. Sometimes by foes I was overpowered, sometimes by friends forsaken. And when my hope was at the top, I still was worst mistaken. and then sore harassed and tired at last with fortune's vain delusion, I dropped my schemes like idle dreams, and I came to this conclusion. The past is dead, the future hid. It's good or ill untried, but the present hour is in my power, and so I will enjoy it.
Thank you very much, Rob. Okay, next we have Mary O'Connell.
This poem is situated during the War of Independence. It's called And Afterwards. From the upstairs window, she sees them, trousers stuffed into strong black boots. You tell us you've nothing to hide. A likely tale, my good woman. A pub is a hotbed for rebels. Once we get the nod from headquarters, you'll see us again, don't you worry. And then there'll be hell to pay. Her mother's shoulders are stooped as she walks from the road to the door. Sarah runs down to the kitchen. Her throat is painful and dry. She picks up a cup from the dresser, plunges it into the water that brims on a galvanized bucket brought from the well. Neighbors call in to her mother. From their whispers, the child snatches words. Black and tans, Crosley tenders, the lads. She knows who the lads are, all right. The men who are fed on rashers and eggs while she and her brothers look on. Whenever she tries to ask questions, she's told, little girls must keep quiet when grown-ups have things to discuss. She goes up to the press on the landing and finds what is hidden away. The bear that was posted from Boston by an uncle she's not even seen. The fur is the color of honey, with eyes that are glassy and brown. He still has his cellophane wrapping. He's not to get dirty, they say. She often steals up when she's troubled, opens the box where they've put him, and pours out her heart to the bear, not daring to lift him up in her arms and give him a heartfelt hug. 10 days later, the intruders return, ransack the public house looking for guns. On the landing, a bundle of fur lies slashed by a bayonet knife. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. Next, we have Cedric Bicard.
This one is a little bit long, and I will need your participation. So when I sign, I will need you to say the following sentence. Mens sana, in corpore sano.
Mens sana, in corpore sano.
It's a sane mind in a sane, in a healthy body.
What is that again?
Mens sana in corpore sano.
Fucking chops now, is it? You
didn't hear it. All right, so, mens sana, in corpore sano.
Insana
Incorporated
Sano.
Responsible
for the
movie.
What you gonna get? One more time. Insana Incorporated Sano. The pillow is far behind. For a few hours again, but he's tired, like yesterday.
Insana Incorporated Sano.
Hour one. The coffee brews. The eyelids are heavy. Everywhere hurts. The mood is gray.
Mensana Incorporated Sano.
Hour three. He is iron out. An efficient mechanized mind, formatted and trained to execute.
Mensana Incorporated Sano.
The years of habit are stressing the very lens it shaped. Hour seven brings its share of pain. The hourly wage is a war on the nerves for a man who no longer gains, as his hope has his hopes vanished and his needs remained. We are getting there. He's one among many who wants a rest long overdue. He's lucky even knows. Sometimes it's the person that withers, twists, burns out before the body follows.
Mensana Incorporated Sano.
He has seen it, that misfortune, the fate anyone would hate, a shadow cast by the firm bigger than the planet.
Mensana.
At dusk, exhaustion has replaced sanity. Another set of habits leads him to safety, where sleep will hide him from the eclipse of the company. We're almost there. That morning is one too many. He can't see the day when the sun is already out. In some places, black has replaced gray. Maybe he wished for it. Maybe only the body let go of the mind to let the car sway. He could have died, but help came quickly because it was funded by the company. Mensana Incorporated Sano. He will get well too soon. His colleague wish him an undeserved rest. Mensana Incorporated Sano. They are not done with him. He knows too much. Owes too little. They want to own him too. Should the man sign out, we'll cooperate. Thank you.
Thank you, Cedric. That was great. Thanks for bringing something different to the night. Actually, yeah, just for the experimental nature of that, give him another clap. Right. Okay, next, just so you know, guys, we just try and keep it brief. We just have a few more to get through, and time's ticking on. So, can I get Emily Davis Fletcher?
Yay!
this poem is called Stings. They're nothing spectacular, but they'll do. You let slip as you wiggle close in bed, reach through gray sheets, cut my right breast. Like a drowning bee, you save in your hand. I could sting you. On the beach in Barcelona, I folded my swimsuit down to my waist, daring you not to notice every other woman's bikini top flung in the sand like a jellyfish stunned by its mate. Remember the man selling small cans of beer at inflated prices, treading carefully around volcanic islands of women, their nipples the first spurts of lava, to rest on his haunches beside me. I rolled on to his shadow, a burnt tongue, stretched back the brim of my straw hat, so I'd see him in full light. His skin was the color of ripe barley at sunset. I could sting you again, in the magic house from my childhood. I place you upstairs, hands roaming over a glass ball, bigger than your head. Electric blue cracks are bridges, writhing from your palms and fingertips to its core, as every hair on your body jerks up, like an animal sensing something spectacular. Downstairs, the sunset on Barley Man and I are on all fours, taking turns. We press a cheek against the cool floor, peer into a hole in the wall, the size of a cat's eye. Our pupils dilate, then constrict, as a white Christmas light springs on two pale mice sitting at a kitchen table, buttering toast and stirring tea with the curved blades of their tails.
Thank you very much, Emily. Right, next we have our current five-word champion, Niall Herriot.
This is called Bopping with the Comet. In 1997, a spectacular comet came over Ireland, and it was called Hail Bop. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but I remember it very well. It seemed to be there for ages, for nights and nights. So this tongue-in-cheek piece was written in the form of a villanelle. I was just experimenting with different forms. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. Since the night you came into sight, his focus is blurred, his horizon's hazy. Once so hard-working, he's now dead lazy. To catch a sight, he's up all night. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. Complaints by the score from his wife, Daisy. He sleeps half the day, then gets tight. His focus is blurred, his horizon's hazy. I lent him a book on Edgar Cayce. The comet prophecies gave him a fright. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. Hail, these tales of your tale are racy. A companionship hidden by your light. His focus is blurred, his horizon's hazy. Everyone says he's getting spacey, way gone on a millennial skite. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. His focus is blurred, his horizon's hazy. And just a little footnote on this. Little did I know that while I was writing that, there was a bunch of UFO people in San Diego who took this seriously and were preparing to commit mass suicide in San Diego because they thought there was a companionship spaceship hidden in the tail, only in California. And yeah, that's what happened. 40 of them. In California.
Thank you very much, Dan. Next, we have Kieron McCartan.
You are not lazy. You are not lazy, but battling in resistance to the significant force that exists that wants you to do nothing but consume. For if you do nothing, then nothing will change. and through series of changing nothings, the peoples of the West will continue to have their lives paid for with the lives of the peoples of lands to the south and east of them. Out of sight, out of mind, and stay out. Do not come into my mind on a raft, nor dinghy, nor banana boat. For my mind is too tired to carry the weight of your struggle. It has been worked all day, carrying meaningless manufactured loads down well-paved famine roads. Distractions from the fleeting moment of genius that I had in the shower this morning. That if attended to, might have brought change, or at least a change of habit. As you change habitat on a famine ship. A full vessel, full of full vessels, longing to enter a place where they can be emptied of meaning. Where they are weighed down no more. Where life is so light. Where life is so light. Where life is so full of light. Ignored until saturated. Saturated until repulsed. Repulsed until eyes close for fear of blindness. Dark and proud. Proud that we avoided blindness by closing our eyes. You are not lazy and you are not blind. But you are doing nothing, and you have closed your eyes, and you chose to do so.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Okay, so we now have one musician and two poets to finish us off. So we'll start with musician, Mike Creedon, everyone.
My teams are from Stan and Rab and from John. I did the Triptos, which as well, and Paco. So I'll just say a few lines of a poem and do a very short song. Stark's silver tree, what there did you see? You alone still stand in this barren Iceland, a horror to witness, to testify daily. The frozen sap for countless souls flailing. I finished that part of the salon poem. And we all have good days and we're all happy bunnies, but some days are tough and you need to have courage. Avec courage, as the French say. So this is a recording theme of mine to begin again, as Sam and Mohammed had to say to each other. Without a tune. Begin again, begin again, begin again. Begin again, I must begin again. Face a new day. I must start out again with Canary to say. I'm awfully good at recycling, putting on a new setting. Sorry. It's the rebuilding I have most trouble in. But that rain keeps coming down, it can't help the tears I'm trying. I'm lonely in my soul,
For all the crosses I've been climbing, which one hurt the most? Well, I could pick a few, but nothing and no one could ever hurt me the way that you did. But that sun is coming out, it feels out, there's tears are crying, crying. I'm lighter in my heart, I got more energy for crying, trying. And one thing is for sure, I will save or won't ask why. But my new priority in life is simply just to enjoy. I must begin again, face a new day. I must start out again, as Kennedy would say. I'm awfully good at recycling, putting on a new spin. It's the rebuilding I have most trouble in. Begin again. Begin again. Begin again. Begin again.
Sorry, Paul.
Thank you very much for that, Mike. Okay, can we get Brian Cunningham?
This is a long one over 4 minutes. That's not it. So, roses are dead after you pick them, but they don't lose their essence or message. Violets or anything once alive remains the same. The only thing that changes is the stages. What was once is still now, it's just another phase. There's lessons and blessings in everything. We spend our forever searching far and wide for the best of things. And we find out what we are looking for is right underneath our noses. It's time to wake up and smell the roses.
Thank you very much, Brian. We now have our final poet of the evening, Chrissy Parker.
I always get the job of clearing a pub. Okay, I wrote this today, so it's a work in progress. You know, so, but sure, we are where we are. We make the most of it. You should be hearing in the coming weeks, no doubt. The content of this will probably be self-explanatory in its deeper, more profound meaning and become very aware to all of you in the course of my reading, as I do hope. It's called Can I Count on You? I was coming home from a trip to the shops with free-range eggs and 2 pork chops, and out of the shadows a strange man pops, crossing my path, and then he stops. And he says, "Hey, it's great to meet you, sir. It's a wonderful day." Then again, sure, we all hope for the best, so the best may occur. "Do you know who I am?" he inquired with a purr. I was set to reply, but he'd not finished yet as he reached for my hand, and I knew from the sweat as his palm pressed on mine, I might state the regret that this man with the grin that I had met, he was quick to denote we're in the same boat, so here was he hoping I'd give him my vote. I was glad it was my hand and it wasn't my throat when he tightened his squeeze as he said, and I quote, "I'm left and I'm right and I'm socialist and a conservative kind of a liberalist. I'm a socialist but I'm a capitalist, I'm a Marxist with a shopping list. Not a pessimist, not an optimist, a realist, not an idealist. I'm a Muslim with a Catholic twist. I'm a Christian kind of an atheist. I'm a pacifist, but I lose my fist to defend whatever is your right to exist, if you insist. His policies to be put in place would save East Cork and the human race. He'd been sending all men into space," said he to me with a straight face. "He favoured jobs. He had measures planned to empower communities across the land. To reduce crime levels by taking a stand, and anything bad, he would have it banned. He sympathised with refugees. He'd take the nice ones, if you please. While business people on their knees would pluck more money from the trees, he promised more Gardaí on the beat, and standing for workers if he got a seat. He'd end up fogging beneath our feet on every newly welded street. And furthermore to these delights, he'd read bondholders their last rights, and year-round ban these summer nights would bring more inbound tourist flights. He'd fill potholes, wallets, and forms as well. He'd stop all flooding, he'd banish hell, pure cancel as far as I could tell, when he wields his manifesto spell. I remember, I whispered, with all that implies, as I felt the tears well in my eyes. First preference, he ventured, his mind and his prize, as I raised my soft eyes to the skies. I'll remember, said I, this day that we met, as sure as doll seats have legs. But when you grabbed my arm to deliver your charm, I dropped the fucking eggs. Thank you.